It's Michael and the Gabriels today, and we're doing an audio which is going to be embedded right on top of our WordPress site because, Thomas, we are leaving YouTube Island.
Because what we thought was the realm of free speech, the realm of free data, the realm which we got into because they offered it to us for free, the internet, is actually turned now into the fake media. It is the same thing as the assault and the attack upon Trump through the media is now the same exact European Union, George Soros paid for scrubbing tools have been brought into America. And it looks as if free speech is being squelched here as it has been in the European Union, especially in Britain. So I'm getting a little scared because Michael and Betsy, as I look at this, it seems as if what we considered the free speech platform for citizen journalists may be dissolving before our eyes.
Oh, I think that's true. I think it's been dissolving for a while, but because it was all bits and bytes and software and things, filters going on in the background with shadow banning, things like this, it was really hard for people to get their heads around the level of censorship that was in fact already occurring. And we're just, the general public is thankfully finally becoming more aware of it.
Well, the reason I say that we're leaving YouTube Island, folks, is because the new terms of service, which go into effect on December 10th of this year, are circular. I've read them. One way or the other, we would be a channel that would more than likely be deleted. So we don't want to put any more effort into it. And we know who our loyal followers are. We've had to cross the so-called bridges many times. If you remember back in the days when we posted on Ben and State of the Nation, and then we eventually went to our site, and we've had jumps along the way. And we call these, you know, they're crossing bridges opportunities. And we see that here, that what we're doing is we're taking our most loyal listeners, bringing you onto our WordPress platform and making sure that everything that we have to say is delivered here on the Cat Report. Michael, you have brought some very interesting information to our attention about the origins of all of this. And I have everything he's saying, I have links just below the audio for folks.
Yes, what I was looking at right before I came up here to join the conclave, and by the way, Douglas, it's excellent cheesecake.
Well, you got to thank Betsy and her team.
I thought Lauren. You were the cook on that.
No, I'm not the cook.
Okay.
I do the cappuccinos.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Betsy is. Haven't you noticed that she changes the variety all the time with the cheesecake?
That is true.
It's absolutely astounding.
Yeah. Anyway, that Google was announcing this big change in their end user license agreement. Well, call me crazy, but I have seen this game played before, and whenever attorneys for the Pilgrims Society / Senior Executive Service / European Union / State Department, whenever attorneys start sending you new end user license agreements, the only response you can have is run. Because the devil will always be in these details. They've gotten very clever in how they bury their actual agenda in legal speak. And I started reading it, and I got through maybe 3 or 4 or 5 pages, and I could see that something nefarious was afoot. And then, Betsy, you told me you had read the whole thing. I've now looked at it a bit more, and clearly something ominous is on the horizon as far as users of YouTube. And what I just pulled up before this talk was the origins of those end user license agreements. And it goes back to the date is August 29th of 2002, when the IBM Eclipse Foundation issued something called a Common Public License version 0.5. And 0.5 means it wasn't the version 1, it was a draft that they put before everyone that was receiving all that free code from the Eclipse Foundation, which was based on our invention. And in this user license agreement, it very cleverly weaves in the idea that anyone who contributes code to our platform agrees in advance that they have the rights to do so, and that IBM Eclipse Foundation can rely on that affirmation by that contributor so that IBM Eclipse Foundation is free and clear.
Yeah, and every time I read that in their terms of service, I go ballistic because they are the very worst culprits of this.
Of course. Of course, this is lawfare. This is.
Well, they stole their original source code.
You're not supposed to know that.
So they tell all of us we have to be clear and clean and legal when they went out and they stole this social networking.
And the onus is upon the person who signs that service agreement because it says right in it that you're absolute free and clear that all copyrights of anything that you're using. So when they used the base code and they added onto it, which they were given for free, that was chumming them to bring them in. And they do the same thing right now in China with open source, which is basically IBM Eclipse Foundation 2.0. And what they do is they say, oh, here you get all this great stuff for free. And here's a huge platform and there's tons of money behind this. But when you join, you have to give something to us. And at the moment that you give it, you have to sign one of these stupid agreements saying that you exonerate us from giving you stolen code.
Correct. Yeah, it's a clever game. And then this is how they get around these, we've talked about before, these reps and warranties clauses. When Google sells services to the U.S. government, for example, they have to represent that they hold the rights to resell that service to the government. Well, Google claims that they own the rights, which they got from IBM, but at each stage of the way, these attorneys have shielded themselves from any liability because they've said the person who gave it to me said it was okay, and I'm just going on. So, you know, poor little me, I can't possibly police all these contributors. And oh, by the way, in the same notes for the IBM Eclipse Foundation back in 2002, 2003, they lost sight of who was the original contributor.
Do they say that in writing?
They do in writing. They can't find the original contributor. Oh, sorry. So what they said they had to do in this document, that they had to re-implement the code so that they wouldn't have any copyright violations.
So they'd have proprietary rights upon it. All they did was just to add a few things.
That doesn't hide copyright violation. When you re-implement, that's called plagiarism in the writing world.
Well, you've said this all along, and you've said this with the Miller Act. Mr. President, simply say to all the people involved in the IBM Eclipse Foundation, please show me your original source code. When they produce it and you show that you have it, had it first, and you had it, well, I'm not sure of all the details, copyright, it's your IP, it's your invention, it's your trade secret, so you had all that taken care of. If they can't show free and clear that what they built their entire thing upon is actually theirs.
Well, let me give you some proof of that. So that was in 2002, when the original theft occurred, when Chandler gave the IBM Eclipse Foundation our source code. And we now know the exact date in 2002. So this was like within a month of this common license coming out, by the way, which is, I just thought about that. So August 1st was this, what did I say on this date was August 29th, on August 1st was the day that Chandler gave the source code to IBM Eclipse Foundation. So I lost track.
28 days later, they then started what we now know as social media, which has been a weaponized, military-driven, government-paid-for, taxpayer-paid-for ripoff. And what we now see is that very media, which was supposed to be the foundation, the basis of free speech in America, of citizen journalism, of nobody can stop you from speaking the truth, is now being squelched so bad that with these new terms of agreement for YouTube, December 10th, that go into effect, they basically, as a private company, are saying, we're going to serve you if we want, and we're not going to if we don't want to.
They're saying clearly they are going to be a publisher because you're required to monetize your site. Well, we don't monetize our site, but these new terms of service say we have to. But if you monetize your site, you have to agree to these terms. And part of that is the political speak, where they can shut you down. But here's something else that people aren't paying attention to. If you monetize your site, you have to give Google, YouTube, your bank account number so that they can put the few little pennies that you're going to earn into your bank account that they have access to now. So there is no way we're going to continue on the YouTube platform because I don't want them to have my financial information.
Well, let me throw another monkey wrench in this works. We're talking about all these things Google is going to do to everyone on the planet and all of its end users, as if Google has the right to its own platform. Google does not have the rights to its own platform. That is the dirty secret that nobody's talking about. And Google doesn't have the right because they didn't write the code. They were given it from the Eclipse Foundation, who stole it from Leader Technologies, our company. So Google has is completely illegitimate in acting as if it owns the platform. It does not own the platform. If anybody owns the platform outside of Leader Technologies, it would be the CIA. That's who we're really talking about here. The CIA is running all of these platforms. They just have different brand names on the top.
And I have a solution for all this, because net neutrality was put back into place after it was fought tooth and fang by Silicon Valley cardboard cutouts. All we really have to do is charge for the bandwidth. Then the big companies will fold because they won't make any money because they're stealing the bandwidth. They have, what would Facebook have to pay? What would Google have to pay? And remember, Google is nothing more than what Brin and Page added to what was Mimex, which was the InQtel's CIA's form of searching the dark web. Remember, when the web was created, it was for militarism. It was to connect between the universities, the research going on, being paid for by the United States government, in weapons, basically. And then later, the first thing after that that it was used for was the dark web. Pornography, human trafficking, money laundering. So remember, it was created for nefarious purposes from the beginning. And so when you made it, through your invention, scalable, literally 28 days later, they're creating a user agreement saying, we stole this. We now can basically have a global hegemony in the cyber world. This is cyber hegemony is what we're talking about, right, folks. And you were right there, but you were hoping it would go the other direction. And right now we're seeing, and maybe, Betsy, you can address this, look at the way we've been shadow banned on YouTube. This has been going on for a long time, the demonetization of anyone conservative. And now, look at what they've done to us. Maybe you can explain that, because most people ask us, why do we have 100,000 followers, but you only get a smaller number of hits?
Well, we also know this is a metrics game, so we're not worried about it, because just one or two people that watch or listen to our site who's an influencer can change the world. So I've never worried with numbers. I'm more concerned that these highfalutin social media boys keep throwing rules in our face when they are the worst violators, right, of all. They stole the technology. That will never, ever be undone, and it needs to be corrected.
Correct. They're all illegitimate. And because they're all illegitimate, they can't make any claims.
Well, maybe they would say we're too big to bust up now.
Well, that's what they hope you will think, and therefore everybody will give up trying to protect themselves.
Well, Michael, is this a head fake? Because it seems as if Google, remember, Eric Schmidt jumped from Google and YouTube, and he even jumped from Alphabet and got out. Why? He got his money, he got out. He got out of Facebook before many others. Mark Zuckerberg getting out of everything. Peter Thiel got it. If you look at each one of them, the original fake founders are out of it. They've moved their money to different places. Now you have Facebook, even though they have little Richie there and Mr. Clegg. They can't do anything. Mark the Zuckerbeast keeps saying, well, whatever you want us to do. And now these fake conversations he's having with his staff that he's then, ooh, they're being leaked. And then all of his staff is going against him. And then they're going against Google because of Dragonfly in China, blah, blah, blah. I think it's fake. I think they're basically saying, please take us over, either through antitrust or a monopoly. Don't, as you've pointed out, disgorge us. Don't take our money from us. Just make us into a bunch of other companies that can make, multiple amounts of money that we make now. So what is going on? Why would they so blatantly now become broadcasters who are part of fake news instead of a platform where they wouldn't even be able to be attacked?
I'm not sure, but I think one possibility is that they are trying to bait the president into taking action against them so that they can, in their... I wanted to go back one thing. You talked about use of law, and this is a classic Saul Alinsky tactic, which is use the target's laws against them. And so what we, as people on Main Street, are ready to do is follow the law, follow the copyright law, follow the property laws. They are not. But what they can do in these end user license agreements is force us to think about how we can comply or not comply with these documents when they never intend to comply with their own documents. And so they get us in these endless eddies and loops that we don't come out of, and it all consumes time and energy on uncreative activity. So what has to happen is, I think that the Miller Act notice offers a completely new way of attacking this problem. And that is this. The reason these people have this kind of influence is because they've got tremendous amounts of cash flowing their way. And so with cash, they can buy influence, they can buy bribes, they can put up big servers. They can insulate themselves from anyone from whom they stole. And the only way I think we can answer that directly in a competitive environment is to put up a parallel system and or reconfigure the system that they have put up. And that's what we've proposed to the president, that we will provide a license to the American public for everyone's illegal use of this technology up till now. Everyone has been, lured into, you said it earlier, Douglas, everyone's been lured into the promise of free in order to get all these users hooked on these various features. But the fact is, everyone's using it illegally. And that is a fact. Nobody paid, you didn't sign a license to anything you're using on those phones. And yet, did you ever ask who actually invented those technologies?
Well, I like the idea that the end users will be square with leader technologies in this regard, but I am very interested in the way the president could create terms of service for any of the people, and like Twitter and YouTube, Google, Facebook,
right,
that they would have terms of service that they would have to adhere to. And the first thing would be freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's called the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
We don't need new laws. We don't need new concepts. We have the concepts. They are not being followed by this group of people very intentionally. And with a parallel system that actually complied with the Bill of Rights, then you would have true competition. But that needs a lot of cash. And that's what the Miller Act notice would provide to this mechanism. And then it would be on an ongoing basis, because it wouldn't be beholden to the corporate interests who are funding the current systems. And it's the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower warned us of, and we have now discovered emerged out of the UK in the Pilgrim Society in 1902 and the Empire, the first imperial press conference in 1909. That's where all this got started in the technology world.
And it's going on to this very day. Absolutely to this very day. Fake news is owned by six corporations, six cabals, and now even Fox News, the only supposed conservative Republican leaning agency, has been bought by Walt Disney. So we can also see that Matt Drudge and the Drudge site, someone bought him out. I would suggest it's probably George Soros, because he's completely gone left-leaning. We can see that Breitbart was basically given up by Mr. Mercer to his daughter, who then gave it up to nonsense. I believe that Breitbart, a good deal of the articles that are being printed are being paid for by the people who they are highlighting, whether it be Cher, or whether it be Rob Reiner, or whether it be any of the crazy Hollywood nutcases who every day appear on Breitbart. Why? Because they're paying to be there. So what we've seen is citizen journalism on the internet has been sold out to fake news as an assault on President Donald Trump, because they're globalists And they know that Trump is anti-globalism, and he's destroying them. He's annihilating them. So they have no other choice. So what they're doing with Twitter, look what he did. The other day, how many, Betsy, tweets did he send out? 82 or something in one day?
Yeah.
Why? He's saying, go ahead, call me crazy. Go ahead and try to stop me. Go ahead, because what I'm doing on Twitter has never been done in history before, and it's more effective than anything before, because why? I'm using George Soros' Saul Alinsky methods, Trump is, and basically he is inundating his Twitter account until they try to close it down so that he is going to challenge them. And when that happens, he's going to prove that it's a national security issue. And he's can turn this whole thing around, not only with the Miller Act by simply signing the dadgum check, but he can also turn this around by simply demonetizing them. Now, how can he demonetize them as they're trying to demonetize all of us citizen journalists? Very, very simple. Stop giving them contracts. Stop giving them subsidies. And charge them for what it is that they should be paying for, which is the bandwidth on the internet, because we own the internet. We the people own the internet, because we put up 45% of the money to multiple companies. And in essence, it is ours. So the internet isn't some imaginary thing in the clouds. It is hardwire. It is physical. It is optical cable. It is wireless. It is the antennas. We own that, folks. And we are right now, what are we doing? We're paying to have 5G installed? No. Yes, we are. The 5G companies that say they're installing it? No, they're not. We're paying for most of it. $50 billion for the first, I think, just first year, 2 years, I believe, $50 billion. Okay, that's more than the wall. We could build a wall around all of America for that, but we're going to spend that on 5G so that our phones can go faster. No, that's not what's going on. What's going on is a total takeover of all Americans, the last bastion of freedom. And the cyber assault on Trump at this point is coming to a head, and it's going to have to be decided by Trump himself. The direction he goes is the direction all of us are going to go, because Europe, for instance, Britain, hate speech. You can write a Gmail where you say you don't like radical Islamic terrorists, and they'll show up at your door, and even if you're 70, over 70 years old, they'll put you in jail for hate speech. That's coming to America. All of those same mechanisms, cyber mechanisms, have been put in place. They just haven't been enforced. So the new service agreements, which we've already seen with Facebook, but Michael, you've shown how many pages are in the service agreement that you, if you go to all of the different sub pages, what, 600 pages or something?
Well, what you have to do is you have to look at the original page and then all the links that are on that page and follow those links. Well, we put a person on just doing that for Facebook, Yahoo, and Google. And this person came back breathlessly about 7 or 8 days later and said, I got to stop because this is going to go on forever. She was 8 layers deep into these links, and it was already 1,500 pages for each of those services. And it was continuing.
And basically, there is no exoneration of Google, Facebook, any of them that is not in that service agreement. You exonerate them of everything. You told them they can steal your data. You told them they can take your personal pictures. You told them, you invited them personally into your YouTubes and into your Gmail. You did. Yes, you did. You didn't know it. But when you clicked down there on that little thing where you didn't read a single page, it should have been 1,500. That's what you did. So what we're saying here today...
By the way, this is the same attorneys that wrote the original license agreement that have written this one. These people know what they're doing.
This is a three-alarm fire. We've already seen the demonetization. We've seen the squelching. We've seen the eradication from all these social medias, a media of conservative voices. And we're seeing it up to the point that our own president is going to be attacked by these fake Silicon Valley cardboard cutouts. These are cyber enemies of America. We are at war. This is the second American Revolution. And please remember that during a revolution, those who are fighting the revolution will go underground, and they will become perhaps smaller, but they'll become more powerful. more focused, and they'll have a plan. And that's what we're developing right now.